This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka an nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiratan ma ba'd. I would like to welcome you all to our first session of the VRC Conversations. We're going to be inshallah ta'ala every Monday after Isha until Ramadan begins inshallah ta'ala. Host guests who will help us inshallah bring us closer to Ramadan and preparation for the month of Ramadan. So the first session I would like to start with inshallah azza wa jal will be on Ramadan and our youth. And with that, I'm actually very alhamdulillah pleased to have our youth directors, both Sheikh Yusuf Bakir and Sister Amina Zghayr here with us, who are the directors of our youth program here. Alhamdulillah for the high school, the boys and the girls. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So I would like to say welcome, Jazakumullah khair for being here with us on the program. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan, blessed Ramadan to all of us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. First of all, I would like to ask, since mashallah you guys are now the youth directors, which means you're helping the boys and the girls to prepare for the month of Ramadan. But before we get there, I want to talk about you guys. How was Ramadan for you when you were in that age that you are now serving as youth director? So when you were that age in high school, how was Ramadan for you? What would you tell us about Ramadan? Is it on?
Bismillah. Alhamdulillah, it wasn't that long ago that I was in high school.
So. Okay.
So it was really, I just remember, subhanAllah, the one theme in Ramadan when I was younger was the masjid and the attachment to the programs in the masjid and the people in the masjid. And the masjid just truly made Ramadan amazing as youth. That's where you got to encourage one another to connect to the Quran, learn the seerah and different things of that nature.
So you can't imagine Ramadan without the masjid, would you?
I cannot imagine Ramadan without the
masjid. SubhanAllah. In terms of your favorite part of the month of Ramadan as a youth, what was it for you?
The qiyams.
The qiyam?
Yeah.
MashaAllah. Was that something from the whole masjid or just exclusive for the youth?
The youth exclusive ones.
Now, what was so special about it though?
Just, praying together and having different halaqat and having reflections together, and also just different activities and sisterhood and suhbah, and just feeling like, the masjid is just yours. You feel, when it's just the youth in the masjid, even when it's just the youth girls, they pray on these safs in the musalla, and they just feel, it's like a different vibe, subhanAllah. Even last Ramadan, just the youth here, it was an amazing experience, and I look forward to this Ramadan as well, inshallah.
So you would definitely encourage the parents to bring their daughters and their sons, inshallah, to come to these programs, even though it's going to be late at night in the month of Ramadan?
Yeah, I think it's worth it to sacrifice sleep for 1 month for the hasanat and for the experiences as well.
Alhamdulillah. Sheikh Yusuf, what about you? How was Ramadan for you?
Bismillah ar-Rahim, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Yasir, for inviting us to this beautiful conversation program. I used to watch this, Sheikh, back in the day when I was in Jersey, enjoying this program, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So Jazakallah khair, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost to make us among those who will witness this month of Ramadan.
Ya Ameen, ya Rabbi. Ameen.
أسأل الله أن يبارك لنا في شعبان وأن يبلغنا رمضان.
آمين. آمين.
Regarding your question, Sheikh, I spent half of my life in Egypt and half of it in Europe and America. So when I was in high school, I was in Egypt at that time. And Ramadan for Masr is different. So subhanAllah, the spirit, the energy, especially towards Maghrib. You walk in the streets of Cairo streets, you will hear the mashayikh reciting and the masajid, and then you will hear the amazing adhan of Sheikh Muhammad Rifat. Every time I just hear this adhan, reminds me by my childhood and reminds me by Ramadan. And subhanAllah, first night used to be very special.
No.
As we are walking to the masjid, SubhanAllah, the sakina and the tranquility that you feel as you're approaching the masjid for the very first taraweeh is something that I cannot forget.
So there's no doubt this kind of environment, there's no way we can replicate that 100% here in America. But what is it that you believe that as youth directors, as a community, as families, that we can bring closer to that environment for our youth in the masjid? What we need to do?
Believe it or not, Sheikhna, when I came here, I was shocked. Wallahi al-azim. When I came to Valley Ranch, I was shocked.
Alhamdulillah.
Because it was always in my mind, Ramadan is always in my mind, something that is mesmerizing experience that I used to have. So for me to go to different places without, you know, mentioning any names and not to feel this, it was very disappointing.
Mm.
And I used to suffer in these Ramadan, subhanAllah, because I just want back that energy that I used to have in Ramadan. Hearing Sheikh Muhammad Rifat, his adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
And you break your fast right away.
That's it. So, subhanAllah, when I came here, Mawlana, and I understand why people move to Dallas, and especially Valley Ranch. So last Ramadan, we see people from Europe coming here and from different places of America.
Alhamdulillah.
The energy here is different, subhanAllah. Approaching Ramadan here, Ramadan is approaching, first night here is very special. You'll find Qari Ifdal Yusuf and Qari Hamza, you know, with their beautiful recitations. And then you'll find those amazing talks with Mawlana Sheikh Yasir Bajaz and Sheikh Omar Suleiman, especially the last 10 nights. Those late night, you know, softeners, heart softeners talks.
Alhamdulillah.
It just makes Ramadan different here in America. I believe that this is a place that's very unique for Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah.
So
I hope our youth actually and their families, they hear your message over here, making sure that, you know, you spend as much time as they can in the Masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope so.
Wallahi, Sheikh, this is a very important point, because our experiences are different, or those who are coming from Muslim countries are different.
No.
Our youth are not experiencing the same.
Mm.
And sometimes we just deal with our youth as if we are dealing with our young selves.
Mm.
And subhanAllah, that reminds me by Maqulat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when he said, عَلِّمُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ غَيْرَ مَا تَعَلَّمْتُمْ لِأَنَّهُمْ خُلِقُوا فِي زَمَانٍ غَيْرِ زَمَانِكُمْ. So he was saying that you cannot just apply the same strategy, same thing, same experience that you had when you were a child and apply to today's society and today's time. Our youth need something that's very special for them to make them feel that this is actually Ramadan. That's something that I look for it, right? Something that's exciting, something that's happy, something that I actually can't wait to witness. And I believe that falls falls on our shoulders to make sure that we actually get our youth experience something very special in the month of Ramadan.
Jazakallah khair. Sister Amina, that brings us actually to a subject, of course, since our time is different than our parents' time and our kids' time and so on. School is different here. Heavy schedule, long hours, and so much they need to do, subhanAllah, during school day, after school, and even sometimes the weekend they have a lot of activities and so forth. So if we would like to ask the parents and the students, for example, how can they balance between their school load, homework, activities, programming, and also benefit from the month of Ramadan the way Sheikh Yusuf was describing? How can we do that?
I think the first and most important thing is time management. SubhanAllah, now I think we're going to touch on that later in the conversation, but a lot of youth waste time on social media, on their phones, TV, hanging out with friends, with idle talk. So if we have proper time management, that really helps. And also not overexerting yourself. And you know, if you go to an Islamic school, I'm sure inshallah they'll make accommodations, lighter workload. If you go to a public school, you know, maybe even having a conversation with your teachers, you know, can I have some extensions on certain things? You know, this is our holy month, and explain things to them, being transparent.
Mm.
But also understanding that, you know, to make the most of Ramadan doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be in the masjid for all 20 rak'ahs of tarawiyah if you're a high schooler that has a final the next day. Like, pick what you need to do, what's the most important, you know, Isha and Jama'ah, staying for the beginning of Tarawiyah, attending what you can, but don't stretch yourself too thin.
So they need to do their homework, right, once they come back from school, before iftar, so they can spend the night in the masjid. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's a really good idea. Do your homework, get it done with, take a nap, have iftar, come to the masjid.
But don't wait to make your homework at suhoor time.
Or you could do your homework at Suhoor and then just stay up after Fajr.
Nah. So since you talked about the subject of social media, it seems that phones and these gadgets becomes like an extra limb for the youth these days, subhanAllah. How can we help our youth start, yeah, kind of like unplug slowly and gradually and get it out of their system, so it can really benefit from the month of Ramadan? And if they had to use their phone, if they had to use technology, how can you use it properly for the sake of benefiting for the month of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala?
You could pick time limits on certain apps on social media. I highly encourage limiting yourself on certain apps, you know, TikTok, Instagram, the famous ones for the youth nowadays. But also, don't start on the first day of Ramadan. Start from now. You know, start tapering down your social media usage from now. Be mindful of what you are putting on your screen and what you're seeing and what you're listening to. And just try your best to cut it out as best as you can. I understand it's not feasible now. Everybody, especially us adults, we're glued to our phones looking at news from Gaza and we're looking at things online. But how can you taper down is by cutting out the unnecessary things.
So are you suggesting that people, they need to kind of go and start unfollow unnecessary pages and celebrities and people who are not going to be productive for them in Ramadan?
Yes, for sure. Clean your feed. So and in Ramadan, and even now, your feed should be things that you would be comfortable with showing myself or Sheikh Yusuf or Sheikh Yasser or your parents. Like your For You page should be, you know, clips from Valley Ranch, because we have a TikTok, you guys. Just different things like this. So be mindful of who you're following and what you're
Jazakallah khair, barakallah fik. Sheikh, now this brings us to actually a very important subject as well. When it comes to bad habits, it's not just really having habits to always hold the phone and wasting our time on these reels and so forth. It may not necessarily be a haram thing that they watch, but they're just wasting their energy on useless stuff and so on. But there are so many other habits some of the youth might have that they have maybe picked up before the month of Ramadan. What can we say to them? How can we advise our youth to start, inshallah ta'ala, focusing on changing the bad habits and bringing new habits into their life, inshallah? How can we do this?
First and foremost, Sheikh, is to evaluate ourselves first. See where are we at and what exactly need to be improved, what need to be changed. Mm. If we are not acknowledging our weaknesses, our bad habits, and we're not seeing them, we're not aware of them, then it will be very difficult to actually change them. Mm. So number one is to just pause, cut the noise, cut the distractions, and just focus on yourself and see where you want to be at after Ramadan. What things that you need to change? That's number one. Number two, you cannot really quit bad habits. The only way to quit bad habits is to develop good ones.
That will take over.
No. That will eventually take over. Mm. Because sometimes we just focus on the bad habits and trying to quit those bad habits, but we're emotionally attached to them. It's very difficult to just decide to pause and to stop those bad habits if you don't have a backup plan that can actually get you to overcome those bad habits.
So if you have some of these youth, they would like to come to you, say, Sheikh, you knock on the door. Sheikh, I have some bad habits, I need your help. How would you help them with that? What would you tell them?
I will first ask what kind of bad habits you have. Mm. And then I will ask what do you think you can do as a good habit that you can develop throughout those 30 days of Ramadan? Because this is a golden opportunity, Sheikh. Even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about how this is, you know, an opportunity, because shayateen are locked. It's a time for me and you to develop, right? For better self-discipline and for that sense of spiritual development and emotional development.
So your door is going to be open for them when they come to you. They need some mentorship. They need, so you know, I need you to help me out with this habit. I just want them to know that, inshallah, our youth directors, inshallah, and leaders, bidnillahi azza wa jal, are there to help them out one habit at a time, bidnillah. Is that possible, Jama'ah?
That's what we're here for. That's why they hired us.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Amin. Jazakallah khair. Now, Sister Amina, you know, when it comes to the subject of habits, I'm sure, again, not all the habits are, astaghfirullah, haram habits. But what's the value of quitting some of the halal habits? What exactly we gain out of removing some of the extra habits that are not necessary in our lives?
Exactly like you said, when it comes to, not everything is haram. However, how do you feel if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was here and he saw you doing these things? Is it technically not haram to be scrolling on certain things on social media? but is that how you would want to spend your time? So being mindful of how you spend your time, because subhanAllah, our time is an amana, and we have this limited time on earth, and we are supposed to use it wisely. So making sure that what you're doing with your time is worth it. So, you know, hanging out with friends, how could we make that meaningful? Making your plans revolve around salah. We're going to come to the masjid, we'll pray together, and then we'll go out to dinner. And then having proper conversations with your friends.
You know, because my concern is that when we talk about changing habits, most people's minds goes to bad habits.
Yeah.
Something that is haram, something that is wrong. But it doesn't have to be. I just want our youth to understand that even sometimes some of the halal things that they do might be actually a bad habit of itself.
Yeah.
Something, for example, they go and they spend too much time socializing with their friends. Or spending time on the phone for hours, for example. Or while, for example, playing video games, instead of playing for an hour, it becomes 3-4 hours, for instance. Even if it's something that is considered halal, it doesn't mean it's good for you. So we need to make sure that they understand that when it comes to habits, whether it's bad or halal, it still needs to be changed, inshallah, something good, bi-Nillahi Azza wa Jalla. Which brings us to another subject right now. Sheikh Yusuf, when it comes to Ramadan, just like anything that we'd like to accomplish and benefit from, inshallah ta'ala, it has to be something intentional. Like, we have to have vision for it, we have to have goals for it. So when it comes to the youth, as adults, it's easy for us to set our goals for the month of Ramadan. But for the youth, what are reasonable goals that the youth should maybe set for themselves in the month of Ramadan while they're still going to school, so they can benefit, inshallah, the most, bidnallahi azza wa jalla, and parents, hopefully, can help them out with that, bidnallahi azza wa jalla. What could that be?
So first and foremost, Sheikh, now we have to set realistic goals. Sometimes we just put big goals and then we get burned out in the process.
Yeah, finishing the Quran 60 times like Imam Shafi'i, that's not reasonable.
that might be a very difficult one. So setting realistic goals, but be consistent with it. As the Prophet said, "Habul amal ila Allah adwamuha wa inqalat." So the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who are consistent. Even though they're small, it doesn't matter the quantity, but what matters is the quality, right? So that's number one, setting realistic goals. Number two, Shahr Ramadan is basically about two things. Number one is obviously about the Quran. Shahr Ramadan الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. And subhanAllah, this Sheikhna, this idea of the month of the Quran, sometimes we just we've been saying this for all of our lives, and we desensitize or normalize this verse, Shahr Ramadan الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Sure, this is the month of Ramadan, so it's the month of the Quran. But actually, Sheikh, it has a very beautiful and strong story that I would like to share, inshallah ta'ala, that really made me look at this month differently. So when Allah said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ, so He said the month of Ramadan is where the Qur'an was revealed as guidance. Now, as we are going to recite Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah, Sheikh Ifdal is right here. Sheikh Ifdal, inshallah, سَيُمْتَعْنَا بِصَوْتِي. He's going to make us fall in love with the Qur'an, inshallah, through his recitation. Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This story starts from Prophet Adam alayhi salam, when Allah sent Adam and Hawa to the earth and told them, because of their mistake, you're going to go down to the earth and wait for my guidance to be descended to you. اهبطوا منها جميعا فإما يأتينكم مني هدى. And once you get this huda, this guidance, if you were to follow it, then you will have a place where there is no huzn and there is no khawf, no fear and no sadness, which is basically Jannah. In other words, if you were to follow this guidance, you will make your way back to Jannah. You and your offspring. Now Allah has fulfilled His promise. He has sent down pieces of guidance throughout prophets that came to the people. And the Bible was a guidance, right? And Allah has described the Bible as Huda in the Quran. All of the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guidance. Until it reached the last piece of guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to humanity. And that was the Quran that was sent in this month, the month of Ramadan. In other words, Allah, we are celebrating the fulfillment of the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given to Prophet Adam alayhi salam. So we have something that's very precious.
I guess the conclusion of all that the journey of that guidance to mankind comes into the Quran in the month of Ramadan.
Yes. And so that's a very special time. So we have to embrace that Quran. So this is definitely one of the habits that
if you would like to suggest to the youth to have one particular habit with the Quran in the month of Ramadan, one single habit that we could call like a milestone habit, that it changes the way they receive the Quran, what would that be? If you want them to do something with the Quran in the month of Ramadan this year, inshallah ta'ala, what would that be?
Wallahi Sheikh, putting extra effort to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Like one page at a time, one ayah at a time?
Wallahi, I would say whatever amount, as long as it doesn't overwhelm you over time, because you need to be consistent throughout Ramadan. If you think that's a reasonable amount to understand and translate, to understand, to really feel the meaning of those ayah, that what actually gets you attached to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Do you suggest for them to read the translation from cover to cover? Like doing khatma in English?
I would suggest to reciting Khatma in Arabic and then translating the ayahs and understanding it.
No. Sister Amina, what about yourself? You know, if you would like to give the girls their basically advice in regard to the Quran in the month of Ramadan, especially that sometimes the girls might complain, say, look, I don't have the full Ramadan like everybody else. I have to take a break for a full week and so on. So I'm gonna take what do I do in this month, for example? What advice would we give these girls, inshallah ta'ala, so they don't feel left behind when it comes to their tradition and their attachment to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
So making sure that you understand the Quran and having different resources that you use. You know, there's a bunch of podcasts and the Qalam app that you can go through different tafsir with them. There's so many different resources that you can use. You know, we can give you guys the information and the resources, inshallah.
No.
But it's definitely very important to go through what the Quran means, because I think a lot of the times the youth get so sucked up into rushing a khatma and like reading through very quickly and not understanding what they're reading. Because how many of our youth have completed the Quran cover to cover but don't understand what it is that they're reciting? So connecting with the Quran on a more meaningful level, and even if you have a week break, you can still do that.
What do you think of having a personal journal for the Quran? Like while you're reading, whenever you read the translation and specific meaning hits you, then you write it down in a form of an action item, like do this, don't do this, do this. So something that you connect with the Quran on a personal level. What do you think of having a journal?
I love that idea. I always encourage the youth to have a journal with them and then sticky notes or ayahs that really meant a lot to them or that had an impact on them, and then digging more into the story of those ayat, understanding what was happening when these ayats were revealed, and understanding more in depth. So definitely having a journal and making notes and encouraging you and your friends to do those together is very important.
No.
Even on the notes app, you can share your notes with a friend and it updates it with them. So, you know, if you guys make a group and you have your Quran notes together and you can reflect together, that's a great idea.
That's beautiful. Sheikhna, in regards to challenges the youth they go through that parents might not be aware of, like for us, the parents, it's easy maybe to tell our kids, hey, you need to fast. Why don't you wake up and you know, read your Quran? You need to stay every single night for the Taraweeh in the masjid. But they also have other challenges that the parents might not be aware of. From your experience with the youth, specifically during the month of Ramadan, when they come to you and they start kind of bring their grievances to you and so on, what are these challenges that they go through that parents need to be aware of?
Well, Sheikh, like I said, our experience as children were totally different. Even if we, for those who were born and raised in America, also it's different. The world is changing, you know, rapidly. Things that, the challenge that we faced 20 years ago, 15 years ago, are totally different than today's challenges. One of this big challenges that I believe our youth are going through during the month of Ramadan is that they feel lonely in their schools, because every other person, everyone is actually not fasting, so they see people, you know, eating and drinking around them, and then it's even difficult and heavy sometimes to explain to people why are we fasting, and they get overwhelmed with all of those questions. However, I always advise our youth is that, you know, being in a position where you're different, it doesn't mean that you're lower, that you're lower, right?
No.
And when people see that you have principles and you're sticking to your principles and you're sticking to your values, eventually people will actually have respect towards you.
So that's one of the biggest challenges, that when they're in the school and they're fasting, they feel that just like out of this world. I need the parents to understand that, because it's easy for you to go fasting into corporate America because you guys are adults, who cares, right? And you have your own space sometimes that you don't even see anybody else at all throughout the whole day and so on. But our youth, they have to face the challenge of, you know, maybe sometimes being questioned and asked, why aren't you eating? Or why not this, why not that, and so on. So that's something the parents need to be prepared for. How can the parents, and what should the parents provide for their children in order to give them that kind of peace and also support in these kind of circumstances?
Number one, Allah Sheikhna, is to hear them out when they come back from school.
Just listen, right?
Just listening to their days. How did your day go, right? And you will find that they will dawn on you like a lot of situations that they faced in school, and you just need to hear them out. Sometimes since we have very limited time, especially Ramadan and things are going fast, and we're already fasting, we have low energy, we were busy with preparing the iftar and all of this, and we want to focus on our ibadah as well. Nice. But guess what? This is the best ibadah, right?
Nice.
So the best ibadah is to actually see to see what your child is going through and to spend time. That's actually a form of ibadah. So hearing them out and understanding what they're going through, it will actually develop the sense of sympathy as well. So you're not going to overwhelm them even more. Mm. But how do you understand this? But first, hearing them out, knowing what they're going through in this month. Number two, I like I said, Sheikh, we want to make it more exciting. Ramadan is about also reaching out to others and feeling for others, right?
Nice.
And so I would advise my child, once they came back from school, I will actually make it exciting. I will give him a gift and go and give this to your neighbor. It's Ramadan, right? Let's go now and draw something beautiful to our neighbor with Ramadan Mubarak, and go and give it to your neighbor. Let's connect to your brothers and sisters that they're actually in. They may be alone during this month. Just bring happiness to them as well. So he will feel, or she will feel, that Ramadan is not just something that's overwhelming.
And making them, of course, a nice fancy meal for iftar, right?
Absolutely, Sheikh. And Egyptian food, please.
Sister Amina, in terms of the girls, maybe boys versus girls when it comes to school and Ramadan, the boys might be, you know, brave enough to not care about what people say, but sometimes the girls can be sensitive. So what are other challenges that the girls might be going through that the parents need to be aware of when it comes to the month of Ramadan?
I think a lot of our youth, the trends that I see when I talk to the girls is that they're perfectionists. And they want to be perfect in every aspect of their life. So they start Ramadan very excited. I'm going to maintain my perfect grades. I'm going to read the Quran 3 different times. I'm going to do all these things. And then towards the middle of the month, there's a slump. And then they start to feel a guilt that, oh wow, I'm failing. And then they have that hopelessness, like, khalas, that I can't achieve these goals, I'm gonna be mediocre the rest. So what I try to tell the girls, the most important thing is to not burn out. Do not fall victim to burnout and being too extreme in the way that you start Ramadan. Make smart goals, make realistic goals, make goals that work with your schedule, because my goals and your goals are not going to look the same. Everybody has a different workload, they have different family circumstances. So don't necessarily compare yourself to your friend, and that's what I always try to ingrain in these girls. So inshallah, actually here we are going to be doing a pre-Ramadan retreat for the girls, as well as a pre-Ramadan workshop, and we're going to be working on these things and tackling these smart goals together, inshallah.
Now that you brought this up, what about now, alhamdulillah, Ramadan is coming up very soon for us, inshallah ta'ala. What what parents need to expect and what the youth should expect, inshallah, from you guys as youth directors, from Valley Ranch Islamic Center, inshallah, ta'ala, program, bidnillahi azza wa jal. What are the activities we're preparing for the youth in the month of Ramadan?
So first and foremost, we are here for all of you. If you are having a hard time at school or you're having different things that you need to talk about, myself and Sheikh Yusuf and our youth teams, we're here to talk about it and work through solutions. In terms of programming, inshallah, we are going to be having iftars, we're going to be having qiyams, we're going to be here at Isha and Tarawiyah and during the late night conversations and having discussion circles. Inshallah, we will be also having a digital series that we're going to be dropping as well, because having mindful social media usage, inshallah.
Sheikh, this year for us in Ramadan, in Texas, at least we're blessed that the first probably maybe week of Ramadan, the kids are off school. Spring break, right? So they're going to be off during the day as well too. Is that going to be hard on them to fast or easy? And if so, what kind of program are you having for them during that time?
Sure, Sheikh. Before I answer this question, I really like what Sister Amina said about burning out and seeking perfection through Ramadan. And I would say, I just want to add something to what Sister Amina said. You know, subhanAllah, what counts in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your pursuit, your effort, the journey itself. What counts is that effort that you're going to put. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not judge people based on results. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years given da'wah. If you look at the development of the numbers, there is no really development. مَا أَمَنَ مَعْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Very few people believed with him. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, why Allah put him in high status is because he was strong and he was tough and he went through it. The journey itself what mattered. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. What matters is your pursuit, and your pursuit will be shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. So yes, don't burn out, don't seek perfection. As long as you're putting your effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you through it, inshallah. As far as your question, Sheikhna?
Spring break.
Spring break. So spring break, Mawlana, in terms of, is it tougher for them to fast or easier? I think it is tougher, right? Because there are more distractions than just going to school and coming back.
School keeps them busy until the end of the day, right? But yes. Now they're free all day. Just what am I going to do right now?
Yes. So on a spiritual level, it's tougher, it's more difficult because you have a lot of distractions. You have social media, you have video gaming, you have all of that around you. And it's going to be a little tougher for you to focus on your ibadah. And this is where actually you need to put that effort that we're talking about. If you're making a little progress, that counts, and you're being consistent with it, alhamdulillah, this is what Allah wants to see from you.
Jazakumullah.
You said the programs?
Well, in terms of programs, I wanted to suggest something quickly before actually I forget this issue, because many parents, when they come, when Ramadan actually comes and they bring their kids to the masjid, obviously, they expect that the masjid is going to be taking care of everything for them. So there are the programs, the activities, and so on. And obviously, we're not going to be giving everything from A to Z to our youth and children and so on. So I need to be able to understand what is what can we offer them? What are the activities that we can offer? And what do you expect from the parents and return as well too, inshallah ta'ala?
Wallahi, regarding the program, Sheikhna, inshallah, we will have something on social media. That's the first thing. Before then, pre-iftar, we had khawatir, inshallah ta'ala, that's dedicated to the youth. I highly encourage all parents, inshallah, to let your children watch these khawatir. And then we have qiyams throughout Ramadan, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, inshallah. Just to have a full night of ibadah during Ramadan. The nature of our masjid is that we have very limited capacity, very limited capacity. And that means that we're going mainly to join the main program for the most part. And so we will have to follow the regulations that the masjid has, inshallah, for the community.
Any advice you give the parents who come and drop off their kids and say, your job, take care of them, inshallah?
So, first and foremost, we are a team. And I always tell the parents this throughout the year, is that The youth team and the parents, we are one team with the same goal, the success of our youth. So we have to work together and have mutual respect. And I think that the biggest thing that parents need to realize is that the age group requirements are strict for a reason. Mm. So we have our elementary program coordinator, Sister Bushra, and she curates programming for elementary age youth. And everybody has their specific age group programming. And she does her program split up by ages because that is how these kids will thrive when they're in their proper age group, learning their proper curriculums and everything. So when we have a middle school program, not insisting for your elementary age youth to join or
but the brother and sister.
Wallahi, I understand, but we do it for a reason. You know, subhanAllah, we could have just had one youth program for the masjid and hired one person to do everything and have everybody together all the time, but out of mindfulness for what the needs of the youth are is why we have these systems in place.
So we hope that the parents respect really the boundaries and the rules that we put because they're for a reason.
They're there for a reason.
Absolutely. Jazakumullah khair. Last question, two questions, inshallah, tabarakah. The first one of the last two is... May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our brothers in Gaza, ya Rabbil Alameen. Obviously, as Ramadan comes, and alhamdulillah, we still have the comfort of our homes and lives, and we still expect, alhamdulillah, to have a nice, beautiful, warm meal towards the end of the day and so forth. That's something, I don't know if our brothers and sisters in Gaza, they will be able to have that privilege as we go through it here, alhamdulillah, in this life right now. So what message should we give our youth when it comes to the month of Ramadan, as we observe what the youth of Gaza are going through today, and what message should we deliver to our youth today?
First and foremost, Sheikhna, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Gaza.
Ameen, Ya Rabbi, Ameen. Ameen.
Wallahi, the children of Gaza are an inspiration to everybody.
SubhanAllah.
And I believe that our youth should look at the children of Gaza as an inspiration. And if we're talking about quitting bad habits, developing good habits, if we're talking about resilience, if we're talking about seeking real change, if we're talking about better self-discipline.
And maturing, subhanAllah. Maturing.
Of course, subhanAllah. Yeah. So this is an example right there of people that they're living under all of those circumstances and they're still resilient and they're still going through it and they're still strong. That should inspire everyone. It should inspire our youth to actually to follow that model of being strong and for working on myself, on my own challenges, on my own weaknesses.
So if there was no samosa for iftar, yani, that's no big deal, right?
If there's samosa and iftar, we eat the samosa and then we make dua for our brothers and sisters in Gaza. No. And we feel for them because Shahr Ramadan was meant for that purpose as well, is to actually feel that sense of hunger that reminds you that there are still people across the globe that they're actually suffering. And we see that model right there. So that is a very close model to every one of us. And so Ramadan should remind us by this. And being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and showered us with all of those blessings. And in order for us to maintain those blessings, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, then we show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So Samina, when you think about the youth of Gaza right now, the girls that we see them every now and then, subhanAllah, how they come out on the screen, and like Sheikh Yusuf mentioned, sometimes it's really inspirational, sometimes it really breaks the heart. What kind of message should we give our youth in this month of Ramadan as we see these young brothers and sisters of Gaza going through difficult circumstances?
I always tell the youth, every time you're scrolling on your phone and you're seeing horrific things coming out of Gaza, that use this as a reminder for yourself. First and foremost, alhamdulillah, be grateful for what you have. And second of all, use it as an inspiration of how you can be better. Because subhanAllah, these young youth are so young and they're in the middle of a war zone, living the most horrendous conditions, but they're still uttering Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. They're still grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not complaining. They're respecting their parents. They're an inspiration. So learn from them and say, if these kids can be that strong in their iman in these conditions, what is our excuse now? What is our excuse in these conditions? The second thing that I always tell the girls is one of the biggest trends and issue that we see with our girls' youth is, you know, the cliques and the girls having problems amongst each other and some drama and gossiping and stuff. And what I remind the girls is that in a time like this, this is a reminder that our ummah needs to unite. And our youth, we need to unite. We are sisters in Islam. Not every single youth at the youth program needs to be your best friend, but we need to have love and respect for everybody here and stay together and stay united. Because in times like this, we need each other more than ever. And this community is so important, and this message is so important. And not taking it, like not forgetting what you, the blessing that you have here is.
Jazakallah khair. Your favorite advice that would give the youth in general for the month of Ramadan, what would that be? I want to hear from each one of you, inshallah ta'ala. What would be your favorite Ramadan advice that you would give for the youth and the parents should carry with them and also share with their children, inshallah ta'ala? What would that be?
What I always tell the girls is that before Ramadan, think of three habits that you have that you're not happy with. Think of three things, whether they're small or large, that you don't want to do. And then think of three things that you can replace those habits with. So for example, if you spend too much time playing video games, think of a way that you can replace that time with something. So, you know, instead of playing 3 hours of video games in a day, maybe play like 40 minutes, but then replace that extra time with reading more Quran. If you do that consistent and small effort every single Ramadan, after how many years, how many habits will you have accumulated?
So grow in three areas in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, tabarakat. Yes. Zakalakar. Sheikh Yusuf, what's your favorite advice for the youth and their parents, inshallah ta'ala?
Allah Sheikh, we live in a self-centered world. Everybody is thinking about themselves, their careers, their desires, their goals. And Ramadan is meant to be thinking of others, right? Thinking of the jama'ah, thinking of the community, thinking of the people that they live alone, thinking of the people that they're going to have iftar for the first time in their lives as reverts, and they're actually going to be alone this Ramadan, thinking about the people that they lost family members and they're going to be alone this Ramadan. I would advise our youth, along with you know, focusing on your own goals as well, I would advise to actually do an act throughout Ramadan that's consistent and that has to do with others, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said something very beautiful. He said, "لَنْ أَمْشِي مَعَ أَخِي فِي حَاجَةٍ خَيْرٌ لِي مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ شَهْرًا فِي مَسْجِدِي." He said, if I were to be just in a service of a brother or a sister who was truly in need, that's probably more rewarding than being an i'tikaf for a full month. So we don't want to underestimate this act of ibadah, inshallah ta'ala. So if you're sending you know, charity to our brothers and sisters in Gaza, that's a good act of worship. If you're actually checking on a neighbor who's truly in need and you're bringing something to him, that's act of worship. If you think that a friend of yours is going through a difficult time and then you're checking in, that's an act of worship that we want to do in Ramadan. Think about something that's outside of your circle and of your desires and of your own goals. Think about something higher, inshallah ta'ala.
Jazakumullah khair. What I learned from you guys, the last advice I would like to share with them, inshallah ta'ala, in summary what you mentioned, look for three things that you would like to grow in the month of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. That's very valuable. And the second thing from Sheikh Yusuf, inshallah ta'ala, add value to someone else's life in the month of Ramadan, whether by donating to give them something good, or physically go and help them with something, inshallah ta'ala. Like, add value to someone else's life that will, inshallah, bring you joy and happiness in the dunya and in the akhirah. Sheikh Yusuf, Sister Amina, Jazakumullah khair for joining us for VRC conversations. It was a beautiful, alhamdulillah, conversation we had. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our families, protect our youth, ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children, the children of Gaza, ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate the sufferings of the people of Gaza, ya Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Ramadan a month of peace and tranquility for them, ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah to restore our iman, our faith, and our tranquility for all of us in this dunya and in the akhirah, ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.